It's 8 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the doorstep of the weekend. A big football weekend. A supersized wild card weekend.
That's the supersized.
Grande wild card weekend.
See, I would have got supersized wild card weekend. that to me is better than just super.
How about grande? Grande wild card weekend.
Ooh, yes. You see, then it's like people think it's like a Starbucks order. Yeah, can I get a grande wild card and a venti chai tea, please?
No. It sounds impressive though. Grande wild card weekend.
You have to
grande.
You have to say grande. Yes, grande.
Grande wild card weekend.
Si, senor.
I feel like I'm going to do a Dos Equis commercial.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do,
I don't always watch football, but when I do, it's grande wild card weekend.
Wild card weekend.
Oh, yes. So we'll preview the Sunday matchups. We did Saturday's games yesterday, so we'll preview Sunday. Talk about Monday's game as well with Arizona and the Los Angeles Rams. Every single catch, block field goal, shank punt can be heard on the Team Sports Network this weekend, starting at 2 o'clock tomorrow with the Las Vegas Raiders squaring off against the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
Who, I was so hoping for the tie between the Raiders and Chargers, and then Brandon Staley just had to goof it all up with that timeout call. Just, the football gods were not happy, I guess, and they forced a Raiders victory, which is, to me, never fun. But whatever. Whatever.
I just want to see him go out and play to try to win the football game. And I get that Justin Herbert's like, I never wanted to tie more than that moment of my life. I just want... And that's where there's the problem with overtime.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I heard this chorus. We talked about this the other day. This chorus from the sports media world of, well, you've got to have sudden death for week 18. You've got to have a way to resolve games. It's not fair to have two teams just go out and try to play for a tie. But guess what? That should be the way it is from week one,
yeah,
to week 18,
yeah,
to the playoffs. The NFL needs to once again reevaluate where they are with overtime. And I'm tired of this nonsense that you've added another week of the season. And that you can't do some kind of college, you know, football style overtime. Oh, because, geez, guys could get hurt. Well, guys could get hurt playing an extra week of the regular season.
Guys could get hurt playing the sport of football.
And if something's a good idea, it's a good idea. And this reluctance by the NFL to look at some things that do work in college, not that college overtime's perfect, but it's better than what you have at the moment. And I've gone back and forth about how I feel about NFL overtime. First, I'm like, okay, score a touchdown, you win, fine. Got to stop them. And obviously the benefit of the Broncos when they beat the Steelers.
The Tebow miracle.
To Demaryius, God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. And it was, as a fan, we benefited from that. That was great. Okay, it was awesome.
But
it's probably not the best way to resolve an outcome of a game.
And I believed truly in earnest that they should have reevaluated the overtime rule after Super Bowl 51, where you have the MVP of the league in Matt Ryan not getting a chance to play in the overtime period against New England, who had this miraculous 25-point comeback. And that's, you know, worthy of praise, but you don't let the MVP of the league even get a chance to play in the Super Bowl for his team to potentially redeem themselves?
That's what happened to Mahomes and the Chiefs against Patriots. AFC title game. People said the same thing. Well, here's Mahomes. Didn't get a chance to...
Yeah.
Get to anything with football.
Yeah,
And so I just think that there has to be a better way of resolving overtime and in the NFL and to say, well, we can't do the college one because guys could get hurt. That's stupid.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's flawed logic when you when you're thinking about adding yet another week to the NFL season, because they're thinking about adding week 19 at some point. That's going to happen next. You keep doing this, which runs contrary to what you keep preaching about. Oh, we care about player safety. Worried about guys getting hurt.
Well.
Okay, well then why do you keep extending the season then if you're concerned about the wear and tear on players? All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
We have Butchie on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line.
Butchie. Butchie's Chiefs are going to be in action Sunday night against the Steelers. Good morning, Butchie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing fine. Congratulations on your team making the playoffs again. I'm sorry, for you, I'm happy for you, sir. I'm happy for you, my friend, that they're in. As a Broncos fan, it's just a reminder of the misery that exists with the Broncos and the Chiefs. 13, by the way. I'm going to get this out of the way. 13 straight wins against my Broncos. I'm just going to get out of the way so you don't even have to taunt me with that, Butchie.
Boy, that was a lucky one, too. Fumble. Wow. I know the Chiefs should have won that game, but...
That's bad blocking. Bad blocking by the Broncos right side, and Melvin Ingram makes a hell of a play. I mean, it's the way it goes. And you guys are, look, how do you feel about the Steelers game on Sunday? Because everything screams, oh, this should be no problem. Roethlisberger is a shadow of himself. They limp into the playoffs. But I know you. And I know there's concerns that you have about this game.
There are big concerns, and at -12.5, I'll tell you what, I took the Steelers to cover that. Every time the Chiefs are favored and there's no way they will lose, they play terrible. So I'm very concerned about it. Roethlisberger, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. I know he's not what he once was at all. But that doesn't mean he can't have one last really good game. And, you know, the run game scares me. The defense is always decent. So, yeah, I'm very, very concerned about that game. We'll see.
X-factor guy for the Chiefs. Who has to play well for you guys to win? Outside of the obvious selection.
Well, sure. I think a couple things. I think, number one, your defensive line has to play better than it did against the Broncos. You got to stop the run, and they need a second receiver to step up with Kelce and Hill banged up against the Broncos. You know, that's a big fear right now. They're not saying much out of Kansas City. You know, the assumption is they're healthy, but if they're not, boy, this could go south.
Yeah,
really
Pringle, Hardeman, they've got to maybe come up with maybe 5-6 catches between those two guys. They've got to do something. You're right, to take some pressure off. You know, like I said, for you guys, hopefully Kelce and Hill will be much healthier, particularly Hill, when you guys play Sunday night. But Hardeman and Pringle, they've got to chip in. I mean, and are you pleased how Pringle's improved this year? I think he's made a nice improvement for your Chiefs.
He has. He's stepped up from time to time. He's made a few great plays. He's made some real bonehead plays. But I personally feel the big difference with our offense this year compared to years past is that we had a Pro Bowl talent at the wide receiver 2 spot in Watkins, and we don't have that now. And if you take away Hill and Kelce, you know, it's a crapshot on if we can still compete or not.
I think the outcome will be in your favor. I just think so. I think Steelers will play tough because I think that's just who they are. I think Ben will go out and he'll try to go out guns blazing, but I think you guys are going to move on. I think you're going to be okay.
I hope so. I've got another thought on the coaching search for you guys.
Okay.
In Kansas City, we do love Bienemy, but the feeling really is that it all comes from Reed, and mm-hmm. You kind of see that with Nagy getting fired and other things like that. And I wasn't the enemy OC at Colorado.
He was John Embry's guy, and he was also the assistant head coach. That was a very turbulent time, and that was neither one of those guys I felt like really stepped up and really helped to lead that program. I mean, John Embry, we've talked about this program a lot, his introductory press conference. Geez, I was ready to run through a brick wall. I was ready to say, do I have some eligibility left? Do they need at that time, like 50-some-year-old, you know, early 50s guy to come and play?
Right.
You got fired up listening to him. And they didn't deliver on that. And I just think there are questions about whether or not Eric Bieniemy can be a head coach and be a leader. And I think you make valid points about the relationship with Andy Reid. It's how much of that is Andy Reid? Quite a bit of that is Andy Reid. And so, yeah, while there's people that wax nostalgic and go, geez, it'd be great if he comes back to the state. I mean, guys like Mike from Scottsdale, diehard Buffs fan. He's like, I wouldn't hire Eric Bieniemy to be the Broncos' next head coach, considering how things went at the University of Colorado when he was there as a coach. So I have my reluctance. We can't get caught up in nostalgia. It's got to be about who's going to do a really good job, who's going to help kind of build on what Fangio did. I think Fangio did a decent job of kind of putting things back on track a little bit after the Vance Joseph experiment. And I think he left it a little bit better than when he got there, Butchie, but I don't think it's good enough, and I don't think Eric Bieniemy is the guy for this job. I just don't.
I agree with that, and I will tell you, as a Chiefs fan, the guy that scares me, and the guy I was shocked to see fired, is Flores,
mm-hmm.
Out of Miami. If you guys hired him, and he seems like a leader of men, and that might be what you guys need. He'd obviously have to get a better offensive mind than they had under Shurmur, but I'm sure he would do that, and that scares me.
All right. Well, I hope we can put some, you know, fear into you here in the near future with our next coaching hire. Hey, Butchie, appreciate it. Thanks. It's been a long time. Thanks for calling in today.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. Take care. Hey, Butchie. I just get all that stuff out of the way. Yeah, they won 13-13.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's... Butchie's a little bit like our friend Buffalo Mark, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're always terrified. They're always worried about, and are you really that scared? And I tend to think, yeah, that's how they are, but that's how they operate.
Right.
Where, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if the Bills can get this done against the Pats. I don't know if they can get it done again. I don't know if Chiefs can beat the Steelers. I get that approach.
Yeah.
I just... With the Broncos right now, until the offense gets better, I can't feel good about where they are.
Right.
And with a coaching search, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure which direction I want them to go. I'm really not. I'm
You're talking like either offense or defense?
Right. Or,
just...
or first year, should they be terrified of the first year head coach again? Because it hasn't gone well.
I could say third time's a charm.
I just think that there's a lot of from first time offensive head coach part of it, a lot of feelings left over from Josh McDaniels,
right?
And how badly that all went. And I think for Broncos country, there's a fear of that. I just think that after Kyle Shanahan had the interview that he had, and supposedly just blew the Broncos away, and they didn't hire him, and they hired Vance Joseph. Can you afford to make that mistake again?
No.
I'd be fine. Look, I'd be fine with Dan Quinn. But if you feel like that you are going to have to, you're in an arms race in the AFC West.
Yeah.
And you have the potential defensively, as we've seen already with what the Broncos have done, to give them a chance to be successful in that division. But you have to have an offense that complements that. That's
right.
Going to... put the fear of God into somebody. Broncos offense doesn't put fear into anybody. And until that changes, and it's going to depend on, you have to have, a really good leader. You have to have a guy that's going to be able to put together a staff that's going to be able to make adjustments, because the knock on Vic, and rightfully so, one of many, was their inability to make halftime adjustments.
Yeah. And it showed, because their record when trailing at the half was 1-23.
Yeah. You have to have somebody that when you're behind at halftime, what do we need to do differently in the second half to get this going? And got to have somebody that's capable of doing that. Right. And it didn't seem like there was that ability within this coaching staff with Vic Fangio to make that happen. All right, so we have Grande. I'm just going to go with Grande. Grande wildcard weekend. And all the games on the team this weekend, by the way. Let's quickly preview the Sunday action for you and also touch on the Monday night game as well. And it starts at 10:30 on Sunday morning. You've got Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, Raymond James Stadium for this one. And right now, the Bucs favored by 9.5. Remember, they started, the Eagles did 3-6. A lot of questions about Jalen Hurts. Is he really an NFL quarterback? You know, they rallied to win 6 of 7 games, nailed down a playoff spot, and a chance to take on the Buccaneers. Brady and the Bucs, they finished one of the best records in the league. And the only time he really had a problem was when he faced the Saints.
Right.
That defense had his number. Bucs beat the Eagles earlier in the season, 28-22. But that was kind of part of the struggles that Jalen Hurts was going through and their offense was going through. But like I said, that changed a lot. Here's Jalen Hurts on his second chance of squaring off against the Bucs.
I think for us, we've put ourselves in a great position in being where we are right now. And we know how far we've come as a team, as an offense, as a defense, as a special teams group. And we just want to continue to do the things that have gotten us here, focusing on the process, focusing on getting better every day, focusing on the fundamentals, all the little things we talk about. Doing those little things next week so we can put ourselves, this week, so we can put ourselves in a position to win this game.
All right, his counterpart, Tom Brady, talking about the Eagles' defense. TB12, very impressed with their defensive front.
Well, they have a lot of good players. They obviously got a very good front. They're really settled in at linebacker. They're playing really well at linebacker. And, you know, they got a very veteran secondary who's playing very well together. Talented players at all the positions. They're, you know, a very good defense. They make you earn everything. You know, you make a mistake, you get a penalty, you're going to punt. You know, the ball gets batted up in the air, they're going to intercept it. You hold on the ball too long, they're going to strip sack it. So it's a team that just doesn't let you off the hook. And I think they do a good job of their coverages. They show enough disguise. You know, they're all covering for one another. There's really good communication. I could tell that. So really well-coached defense with, you know, a lot of good players. It makes it, you know, tough for the offense to score.
All right, so the second game, about 2:30 our time, from AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, San Francisco at the Dallas Cowboys. Rematch a couple of classic NFC powers from the 1980s into the mid-1990s. And so these two score off. Jimmy Garoppolo, who has put up fairly pedestrian numbers, but he guides them to the playoffs yet again. And Garoppolo will have, of course, George Kittle to throw the football to, which is always good. Debo Samuel, the Swiss Army knife that he is. But getting Trent Williams back at tackle is really, really big. And George Kittle talks about the importance of getting Trent Williams back on that offensive line for the Niners.
He's the best football player I've ever played with, so it's very helpful. Huge Trent Williams fan. Love playing with him. Love blocking with him. He makes my life a lot easier. He makes everybody's life a lot easier. You can ask him to block two guys, and he'll do it with ease. Trent, like, a little bit hurt, is still better than I think almost everybody in the NFL, regardless of position. So having him back is a huge impact for us and will allow us to do a lot more things in the running pass game.
All right, Cowboys favored by 3 in that game, by the way. So Dak Prescott, this is his first playoff game in 3 years.
Wow.
So here's Prescott on his return to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think just allows you to not take any moment for granted. And, it seems like a long time. Obviously, just putting everything that's happened in between there, on the field, off the field, not making the playoffs, personal things, being taken away from the game, being able to be back here with such a great team, and just knowing the opportunity that we have in front of us, just not only the talent, but the brotherhood, the relationships, and just the special bond that we've got. I think that's going to be the factor that we take into this game that can carry us far.
All right, then it's the Sunday night matchup from Arrowhead. The Chiefs are favored by 12.5 in that game, by the way. And I like what Ben Roethlisberger said. He goes, look, there's 14 teams in the playoffs this year. We'd probably rank the 14th team in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Let's just go out and play and have fun, which was kind of refreshing to hear Roethlisberger say that. Let's just see what happens. We're playing with house money here.
Right.
We were able to luck into being in the postseason. And so the Chiefs have won 9 of the last 10 games, beat the Steelers week 16, punched them in the mouth repeatedly, beat them 36-10. But here's Joe Hayden on the task of trying to corral Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Those dudes, like we said, Coach T says that Travis Kelce's the best run after catch tight end in the world, you know, and he proves it all the time. He closed games against the Chargers, being able to catch it and just zigzag through tackles. And same thing with Tyreek Hill. You're so afraid of his speed to get over the top of you that sometimes you'll be too far off and he'll catch a pass and be able to make you miss and get vertical. So just being able to stay as tight as possible to those dudes and making sure we know exactly where they are at all times.
All right, flip it over to the Kansas City side. Andy Reid says it's going to be a running back by committee on Sunday.
You know, we've kind of done that throughout here, just roll guys in and everybody's had their little role with the offense, and we'll keep doing that. We try to keep guys fresh and the best you possibly can, you know, against a really good defense. It won't be any different than during the season where we did that.
All right, so that game's Sunday night, then your first ever Monday night wild card football game to wrap up Grande wild card weekend. You have the Los Angeles Rams, NFC West champion, hosting their rivals in that out of that division, the Arizona Cardinals. And for the Rams, they won five of their last six to win in the division. The Cardinals, they folded down the stretch. They lost four of their last five in this matchup, So that'll be our Monday night game. Pregame for that at 5:30 to wrap up Grande Wild Card Weekend. All right, we have Mary Doan, coach of the Central Girls Basketball Team, in just a couple minutes. But it's time to play Pyle's favorite game on a Friday, which is Where in the World? It's Tyler Franzen.
San Diego. Oh, tell me.
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He's not hide forever.
I will find you.
Your chance to win beer today for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen.
Never a bad prize.
Not at all. Tyler Franzen this week finds himself at this college basketball and hockey arena that was named Westword Magazine's Best New Sports Venue 22 years ago. But still, where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
All right, so must be 21.
Yes.
If you've won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. Answer only on the text line, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? All right, coming up next, Mary Doan, Central Girls coach, to talk about the incredible start her Warriors basketball team is off to. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team. Talking Central Warriors basketball on the team.
Central girls basketball team, they've won six straight. They're the number 10 team in 4A right now. They're a very sparkling 9-1 on the season. They take on Glenwood tomorrow. With us right now, Mary Doan, the coach of the Central girls. Mary, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us here.
Of course, last year was a great year for your basketball team. The nice run of the 4A postseason. And now, a 9-1 start. It's your best start in your career as the Central girls coach, best start in 13 years. You saw it coming last year, last couple of years with the talent that you've had. And now this year, boy, it's been just an outstanding start to the season with that 9-1 record.
Right. I feel like it's kind of like an asterisk on that, though, because, I mean, last year was a weird year. And, you know, I think that we probably would have been in the same boat a little bit. But yeah, I mean, we have a lot of kids. We've had a lot of young kids get a lot of play time, but you know, we're still young. We're really young.
Well, no doubt with the Wagner sisters, Christina Manzanares, who has turned into one of the best players in the Southwestern League. That's still, like I said, as you mentioned, a really young group that you have. That you think about it, it's kind of where Michael Wells was several years ago with Riley Snyder and some of the players that he had out at Fruita, where they're not freshmen for you, but they're still young basketball players that that have still a very high ceiling in terms of their game.
I feel like that, you know, could be true about these guys, but I'm a little weary. Been in this field for a really long time, and you don't know how it's gonna end up. You know, we got four sophomores on our team right now, and hopefully they all stick and continue to grow. But yeah, I mean, it does look promising, but just got to take it, I don't know, one day at a time.
Mary Dunn,
what we can.
Mary Dunn, coach the Central girls basketball team with us, Christina Manzanares. Right now, 11 points per game for you. She's been averaging just under 4 rebounds per game. Does a good job distributing with a couple assists per game, a couple steals per game, almost 3 steals per game. Have you seen maybe the bigger growth on the defensive end for her or on the offensive end?
I would say with Christina, her biggest growth has been on the teammate side of things. You know, last year as a freshman, she was super excited to be in a game, you know, almost like a puppy, just having fun. And then this year she's been, just even in her comments, some of the things that she says, and obviously, you know, she finds the open player. You know, I think she was telling me about the Moffitt County. She's friends with some of the kids on Moffitt County, and they're like, well, we just have to stop you. And she's like, go for it. And I'll just throw it to my teammates. And I think that's kind of probably where the biggest growth has been in her, is just this total mindset of, it doesn't have to be me. It's going to be all of us.
Right. And one of those players that you can't fall asleep on is Bryn Wagner, Taylor Wagner's daughter. Of course, Alex also on that team as well, Bryn's sister. But, I mean, she's averaging 10 points per game, lethal three-point shooter. And that Moffitt County game, I believe, hit a couple of threes for you in that game. And so for Bryn, I mean, it's another sophomore. But a player that I get the impression watching Bryn play last year, Mary, while Christina Manzanares was kind of like a puppy a little bit, because of, I think, Bryn's background, she seemed more like an upperclassman when she was on the floor last year.
She has, just I think personality-wise, she has more of an intense personality. And, you know, she always kind of has that urgency. You know, she has it at practice, she has it in the game. And that's just kind of a little bit of who she is. And it could be, I'm sure it's a little bit of nature and nurture with her. But, yeah, I mean, she's, you know, I think that she's one who, when you were talking earlier about potential, I mean, I think her potential growth is, I mean, the sky's the limit with that one. I mean, she can shoot, you know, really well. And if she can just get that dialed in as she grows older, it's going to be a hard kid to stop.
Mary Dunn, coach of the Central girls basketball team, the number 10 team in 4A basketball right now. Glenwood on the docket tomorrow for the Central girls basketball team. Sasha Riscone's a player that I know. I looked at the recent article in the local paper, Mary. We call her Beastie. And she, every team needs a gritty, tough player that gets on the glass, makes that extra pass, sets screens, takes charges, does the dirty work and the little things. And Sasha Riscone's that player that those players sometimes don't get the credit that they deserve because they do the little things that help a Christina Manzanares and a Bryn Wagner accomplish what they're doing offensively.
Yeah. And we've called Sasha that since her freshman year. She's so strong. I can't even explain how strong this kid is. Like, I don't want to, when I step in and play around with them, I won't post up because she's going to beat the crud out of me. She's just a tough individual. And, you know, that's one thing she can do well, is she can rebound, and she knows that. And so she treats every shot like it's a pass. And then equally, phenomenally, is she doesn't care. Like, it's all right. Every time I'm yelling at her teammates to throw the ball, and she's like, yeah, but it was a good shot, coach. They took a good shot. I got it. You know, and so she's just unselfish, and she knows what her job is, and we're a different team when she's not on the floor versus when she is. And, you know, I'm hoping somebody can recognize that for her, and she can get a chance to play a little bit more later on because, I mean, she's so mobile and so strong, and she does have a specific set of skills that I think are important on a basketball team.
Now, it says a lot about her toughness, because I remember calling games of one Mary Pacenda, Mary Doan, back in her Palisade days. And there were people that weren't exactly itching to go up against you in the low post back in the day. So that's some pretty high praise for Sasha Riscone.
Yeah, she beats the crowd out of me. She absolutely does. So.
Mary Doan, coach of the Central girls basketball team with us. And one of the things I noticed too, Mary, is that pretty much everybody's played in 8 games, 7 games. Everybody's got a lot of minutes on this team. There's a lot of depth that you have in this year's Central girls roster.
Yeah, very fortunate to have, you know, that type of depth where, you know, kids go in, we don't drop off much. And, you know, I was kind of talking to King about this a little bit, our AD, and I think that if we can get him a chance to get playtime, there's going to be a time down the road when we're going to need it. And if we miss that opportunity to develop those kids, then that's on me as a coach. So, you know, I try to create that depth a little bit. And, you know, there's not a kid on our team that I suit up that I don't think can be helpful to us. So, I mean, just trying to keep those kids improving.
Mary Down, coach of the Central girls basketball team, number 10 team right now in the 4A ranks, joining us on the Team Sports Network. As I mentioned, you play at Glenwood tomorrow. And then you open up league play at Grand Junction on Tuesday night. That'll be part of our full court coverage here on the team. And look, you and Sam are neighbors. You've known Sam Provenza for a very long time. You guys are friends. There's mutual respect there. But the Tigers right now are going through a really tough stretch. But you know, if any coach is going to have his team up for that game with your Warriors on Tuesday, it's going to be Sam Provenza.
Oh, absolutely. Sam is an excellent coach. And, you know, he's doing a great job with what he has. He's getting them competitive. They had a good competitive game against Palisade last week, I think. And, you know, he knows how to develop basketball players. It's not his first rodeo in any way, shape, or form. And he's going to have them – I mean, they're going to go out and they're going to play hard. And again, we're too young. We're too young to look past anybody, you know. And we have to be able to – bring our A game every time we step on the court and continue to play that way for 32 minutes or, I mean, we'll get beat. And that's in Sam's team. Doesn't matter whose team it is. I mean, Sam will have their kids ready and ready to go.
They have the one win this season, and they've struggled offensively. Scoring the basketball has really been their problem. Defensively, Mary, they're not a bad defensive basketball team. You know, Sam's always made an emphasis on pressing and playing great defense. And he's been able to get this team to do that. The record, you know, obviously does not reflect certainly some of the effort and some of the talent that they have. They, like I said, they've just have had a really tough time being able to find the bottom of the net in these games that they've lost.
Right. And, you know, I've been in that position before where you just, you know, you got to, that's all you can do. Get your kids to play defense and hopefully defense creates some offense for you. And, I mean, I think they're right there. They're going to beat people. They're going to get on that cusp, and they're going to beat somebody. And, you know, hopefully I do my job and make sure it's not us. But it's going to be a tough game, and it always is against Junction. And Junction Central have a great respect for each other, and I think they always play each other really hard.
All right, we'll have that Tuesday night. We'll have Fruit of Montrose, Grand Junction hosting Central. Our full court coverage starts at 5 o'clock Tuesday. And high school basketball brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. Mary, I always appreciate the time. Good luck against Glenwood, and a good luck against the Tigers coming up on Tuesday.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your support. And have a good weekend.
You too. Take care. Mary Doan, coach of the Grand Junction, or the Grand Junction Central, but they're the Central girls basketball team. We don't usually say Grand Junction Central right around here. Some do.
It's only on paper sometimes.
I know Kevin Schaefer refers to them as Grand Junction Central. That's okay. He's trying to draw a distinction.
He's got
between
a lot of stuff going on.
But like I said, Sam and Mary are neighbors, and they've known each other a very long time. And
right.
And Sam was out at Palisade when Mary was out there, when coach was her coach during that period of time. And so their relationship goes all the way back to Mary's playing days out at Palisade for Sam Provenza. All right. Don't forget, as far as we have our pigskin picks coming up here on the show, but we have Pile Pigskin Pick'em that we still have to do in regard to our contest. And yes, congratulations to David Edwards. He was the winner of week 17 for Pile Pick'em. He won a $50 gift card to Fisher's Liquor Mart, courtesy of Fisher's Liquor Barn. So thanks to the folks out of Fisher's for that. And my understanding is we won't have weekly prizes, but this will all count toward winning our grand prizes. Of course, the $1,000 gift card to Play It Again Sports out of Valley Plaza. Also, that beautiful Traeger grill.
Yes.
From Fruita Co-op Country, plus the overall point total winner gets that Bud Light cooler full of Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer, the official beer and seltzer of the NFL from Central Distributing. So make sure you get your picks in. We are rolling into the playoffs now. Go to our website to get your picks in at theteam1340.com. You'll find the Pile Pigskin Pick'em link. Click on it and get your picks in for that. All right, 8:37, Jim along with Cake today. Your thoughts about Wild Card Weekend. Where do you see an upset happening on Wild Card Weekend? Grande Wild Card Weekend. Where do you see that happening? Also, your thoughts about the Broncos coaching search. They interviewed Aaron Glenn yesterday. Supposed to be Nathaniel Hackett from the Packers today. The quarterbacks coach, quality control guy, Luke Getsy from the Packers tomorrow for the Broncos. George Payton and his group looking for a new head coach. So if you got some thoughts on what direction would you like the Broncos to go? Guy that just wins the interview process, just blows the Broncos away.
Right.
Or do you take a steady hand like Dan Quinn, considering the Broncos have had Josh McDaniels in the past, first-year head coach that flamed out. Likewise for Vance Joseph. Likewise for Vic Fangio. Does that scare you to go with a first-year head coach again if you're a Broncos fan? Text or call us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We'll have four down territory coming up in just a moment. Do we have a winner, by the way, for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
No.
Okay, you want to do it again?
Yes, we'll do it again here. And if you have the correct answer or just want to guess, text it in, please, to 970-242-1340. Where in the World is Tyler Franzen? Tyler Franzen finds himself this week at this college basketball and hockey arena that was named Westword Magazine's Best New Sports Venue 22 years ago, but still. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
First correct answer, you win a case of
New Belgium
beer from High Country Beverage. So text in your answer. Once again, you must be 21, and if you've won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. Text in now. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim along with Cake today. Just checking the text line. Still don't have a correct answer, do we? I don't see an answer on there.
You don't see an answer, or you don't see a guess?
I mean,
because I'm not seeing a guess.
I'm just seeing. Come on, Pyle. What's wrong with you guys today?
It's beer on a Friday, and
Pyle,
I don't think it's that hard of a
Pyle. This is okay. This is a pathetic effort. It's a pathetic effort on the part of you, Pyle. Nobody's going to guess on Where in the World is Tyler Franzen? You don't have any thoughts about Grande Wild Card Weekend or the Broncos coaching search?
I get that it's a Friday and we're all kind of, some of us are a little checked out. But
I mean, the week has been, Pyle, you've been really good this week. It's been a solid week.
You know what?
This is a pathetic, abysmal performance on your part.
It's because it's a holiday weekend, I'll bet you. They're already hitting the slopes.
But she called in today. Butchie's owning you today.
Sam and Fruita technically called, even though he wasn't on the show.
Sam called today.
He had a scheduling question, which...
Joel called today.
First in the door?
Yeah. They got involved. What about you? What, you don't have any desire to win? Case of Fat Tire?
Free beer.
What's wrong with you? No thoughts about Grande Wildcard Weekend at all? What do you see an upset happening? Do the Raiders go into Cincinnati and upset Burrow and the Bengals?
You know what? They very well could. That's the weird thing.
I mean, where's your thoughts about the Vic Fangio replacement search? The Broncos coaching sweepstakes. Who do you like there? Who do you want it to be? Do you want it to be a Brian Flores? I did see where the Texans are kind of leading toward Gerard Mayo, the Patriots inside linebackers coach to replace David Culley. David Culley, who I thought, considering everything that went on, didn't do a bad job there.
I was texting a group chat yesterday, some friends of mine, and I said, look, David Culley was the fall guy. I mean, he was brought in to do a job that was darn near impossible, which was manage a dysfunctional Texans team that you didn't know what Deshaun Watson was going to do. That whole mess is still not cleared up, and there's a lot of other problems within the Texans organization. David Culley did as best a job as he could in that situation, and it just, somebody had to take the fall, and unfortunately, he was it.
Yeah, so look, as far as today, with War in the World of Tyler Franzen, if you don't want it, you and I'll just split it. We'll just split the fat tire. Perfect. We'll just do that. Split it right down the middle.
Perfect.
Come on, Paul. You don't want that to be the case, do you? You want some fat tire. I know you do. Text in. Give it to him one final time for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen.
This week, Tyler Franzen finds himself at this college basketball and hockey, that's important, arena that was named Westward Magazine's Best New Sports Venue 22 years ago.
And when you mention Westward, that gives you
a big
tip about where it is.
That's a big, big, big clue.
Okay. So text in now. Text only. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. You're just the exasperation of my voice. Really, Pyle?
I'm mad. I'm just disappointed.
Really? Yeah. It's Friday. I'm in too good of a mood to be really upset. I'm just very disappointed. Once again, you have to text in to win the beer, by the way. We do not take phone calls on the contest. So please make sure you text in to 970-242-1340. Coming up, we'll have four down territory. That's in just a moment. So while Cake is on the phone, Are we ready to do four down territory? I was trying to filibuster there.
Well, yes. So that was Kyle who just informed me that he thinks actually our system might actually be down.
Oh, so that would say that Pyle.
That might be why.
Pyle, if that is the case.
All apologies.
Humble apologies to you, Pyle. Humble apologies. Because I'm looking at this, it's everything from yesterday.
Well, and he said that they've had a couple people try to text in and give answers, and they haven't gotten the usual kickback response, the automated response.
I see.
So
we will.
It's not showing up here. So
we'll do some investigating on this and find out what's going on. All right. So Pyle, if that is the case, sincere apologies to you. Sincere apologies. All right. Let's get to.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right. The other day, Joel Klatt did an interview with Kayvon Thibodeau from the Oregon Ducks. Thibodeau told Klatt that one of the reasons he chose Oregon over Alabama was that he wanted his degree to mean something.
Oh.
He said he is bothered by the stigmatism of athletes being dumb jocks. For me, I already hate the stigmatism of football players being dumb jocks. You know, the stigmatism of Alabama education. It ain't the West Coast. It ain't Harvard. Well, not stigma, not stigmatism.
I was going to say, first of all,
I'm quoting him. I'm not
right, and which brings me to a sort of ironic point that stigmatism or astigmatism is an eye condition.
It's an eye defect. It's
whereas stigma is the word you're thinking of,
right,
Mr. Thibodeau?
So,
how's that Oregon education?
Right there, immediately,
working?
You're kind of going, okay, well, maybe that Oregon education wasn't that good after all.
Conference champion.
So, ESPN analyst and former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy ripped Thibodeau for the comments that McElroy mocked Thibodeau for saying stigmatism when he meant stigma. McElroy also defended his Alabama degree and challenged Thibodeau to an IQ test.
Yeah, that's going
to
go over
what
well.
I don't understand is why he felt the need to cut down Alabama. And as someone who has always taken his academic situation very seriously, I'll come at him with this. If he'd like to take an IQ test, I'm available. If he'd like to take the Wunderlich test, I'm available. I'm a proud graduate with multiple degrees from Alabama. I'll put up my degree against any against his any day of the week. For Thibodeau, come on. Number one, if you're going to rip Alabama about their education, use the right word.
Right.
Stigmatism. No, don't you don't get an eye issue if you go to Alabama.
If you do, see an optometrist.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't help your cause about, oh, I got a better education, I'm smarter at Oregon than Alabama, when you use the wrong word to talk about being labeled as a dumb jock. Not good. Not good at all. All right, Mike McCarthy has said that he is willing to get slimed. If the do you slime the Cowboys win the Nickelodeon game, which that's the playoff game this weekend with the Niners. So, will he get slimed? I think they win, but will he chicken out at the last minute and go, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get slimed.
I think it's going to entirely depend on how the game plays out. Like, not just win-loss, but, like, how they win is going to, like, if they win, but it's, like, on a bad call, or if they're not, you know, if they were trailing and they had to go down the field and make a miraculous comeback.
Come back and win, yeah.
If it's something like that where it's, like, a test of patience, he might not be willing to be slimed. I don't know.
But at least I'll give him credit for at least having some thought about being fun and, you know, like the guarantee of the game, the winning the game earlier this season.
Yeah.
Okay. At least he's trying to have some fun as the Cowboys head coach.
Yeah. Maybe.
Third and fourth down.
Woody Page doing the Lord's work. First, the reports about the Broncos ownership groups with Manning and Elway. He's got another one. Got another tweet. Another scoop. From Woody Page, quote, Major League players didn't like the owner's latest offer. The owner's point man is, wait, I have it somewhere. Oh, the owner of the Colorado Rockies.
Ooh. Ooh.
We may never see the sport of baseball played ever again.
Ooh, it's not gone well. We'll try to work that in next hour. Talk about that a little bit.
And then fourth down, Washington football team. This is reporting from a former Denver media great, Nikki Javala. Washington is set to announce their name change on February 2nd on the Today Show in New York.
Okay.
Once again, the Washington football team is announcing its name change in New York.
Why don't they do that on SportsCenter or something like that? I don't...
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay. Everything we're hearing is it's going to be Admirals.
I think it's Commanders.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Commanders. I know that Admirals is kind of the flashy...
Because that's what Boomer said it's going to be. That's what he was told, Boomer Esiason. So
Boomer can't pronounce the word allegiance. So you know what?
Allegant.
Allegant Stadium.
Looking forward to the NHL All-Star Game at Allegant. No, they're going to be T-Mobile.
T-Mobile.
Sorry, it's T-Mobile. T-Mobile. It's going
to be T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. Yes, that's where he probably would say they're going to play that. All right. So next hour, we're going to talk with Byron Weehee, former Mesa baseball coach. He's going into the Colorado Dugout Club Hall of Fame on the 22nd. So we'll talk with him coming up next hour. Plus, we'll have our picks and yes, our NBC Grand Rando playoff begins for
Thunderdome
for. Grande Super Wildcard Weekend, or Grande Wildcard Weekend. Yes. Super is kind of unnecessary there. All right, if you're looking to get out this weekend for Grande Wildcard Weekend, make sure you head to 357 Bar and Grill, where the locals meet for beer, burgers, and ball games at 235 Main Street, or you can stop by their location at 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center. Appetizers. I love me some onion rings, man. Love onion rings. Yes. Onion rings, popcorn shrimp, mozzarella sticks.
Yes.
If you want to dabble in some fried pickles, they have that too. Those are the things you can get started with. And then great selection of sandwiches like the pulled pork. They have the patty melt. We talked about, of course, the burger that we always get a lot of love, the Palisade Pig. Burger with pulled pork on it.
Love it.
Plus, they have plenty of entrees if you want to go more full meal. With chicken fried steak, honey mustard chicken, a pork chop dinner. They also have an 8-ounce New York strip as well. If you're thinking about breakfast or lunch, same place. You can go to those two locations to enjoy a great breakfast as well. But you can, with Sunday ticket. You can take in all the NFL action for Grande Wildcard Weekend. Get out there to either location, Palisade or in Clifton, and watch your favorite team root them on this weekend on Grande Wildcard Weekend. So make sure you stop by. If you're in Palisade, 357 Bar and Grill, 235 Main Street, or at 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. It's where your friends, your fellow fans meet to cheer on your favorite team. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 3 on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network online at theteam1340.com.